on Wednesday, I turned 40. Happy birthday to me. So we're gonna start by talking about gifts. So the first one is a gift that I received that was just frankly mean-spirited. And I got a problem with somebody now, but somebody from this congregation who will remain unnamed sent me a t-shirt that says, "Old Guys Rule." Now again, I'm not going to call this family out, but I got something against you guys now. Well, maybe you're saying I rule, so that's not bad, but okay. Another gift. I'm just the kind of guy that likes to give gifts. So on my birthday, I would like to give a gift to you. Do you guys remember a few years back on the Oprah Winfrey show when everybody got a car? Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it? You get a car. Everybody gets a car. It's exciting. Well, we don't have a car for you today, but I've come up with a special gift for everybody who's decided to be here with our Meridian family this morning. So if you will kind of feel under your seat, go ahead and feel it there. You might look for something taped under there. If you feel there long enough, you're probably not going to feel anything unless... unless some kid has left gum. And if you have, please take the gum out and throw it away for us. So that was a decoy. So the real gift is, if you want to look up forward, direct your attention up this way, and maybe look about right here. I'm the gift. I give myself to you, right? Now, have you heard that? Like a guy described as, he is God's gift to women. Have you ever heard that one? The guy thinks he's God's gift to women. Well, I think that they usually talked about guys who are really handsome and really cool and confident. So that may be, right? Because I'm saying I'm God's gift to women and men. So even better, right? Okay, so this is the gift. And one other gift I'm going to mention is one that my wife gave me that was very meaningful. She gave me a scrapbook. And she had some people that I think very highly of write some notes to kind of commemorate. So it was a walk down memory lane. And I read this on my birthday, and it was great for me to read and emotional and overwhelming. One of the things that it did to me was it made me remember and go back. And it made me think of the first time that Jenny, her name was Duckworth at the time, Jenny Duckworth was introduced to my name. And it was like, it went like this. She was sitting in her room, in her dorm room, in Rice Hall. I don't think that one's there anymore, is it? Dates us. Anderson University, where we went to college, our alma mater. And she's a freshman. She hasn't been on campus very long. And all of a sudden, she gets a knock on her door. She opens it up, and she's surprised to find that the person on the other end of the door is the resident director of Rice Hall. And the resident director kind of looks at her and sheepishly says, Jenny, I don't think this could be true, but there's a resident assistant over in Smith Hall. His name is Daniel Miller, and he's reported that you're smoking pot. I don't think you're smoking pot, are you? That's how she learned my name. And it ended up where some guys on my floor were friends with Jenny Duckworth, and she'd been telling them, I'm smelling pot, will you? And they're like, tell on him. And then so they told me, and so I told my resident director at my hall. And, you know, the game of telephone. So instead of Jenny Miller says somebody on her floor smoking pot, it was Jenny Miller was smoking pot and Daniel Miller. So that's how she learned my name. So she had something against me when she learned who I was. I have something against this family who's given me this mean present. And now you probably have something against me for being arrogant, saying I'm God's gift to you. So let's see if we can bring people together, work these issues out. We're going to be in the Sermon on the Mount today, and we're going to start Matthew 5, 23 through 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, a lot of you have probably been in church for a while and have heard this many times. If this is your first time or just a few and you're not real familiar, that's fine. It's good. but you probably have an advantage even over the rest of us who've heard it many times. But when Jesus said this, the people who were listening to him mostly would have been shocked with what he said. So they would have probably expected more something along the lines of this. If you're offering your gift at the altar, you're giving your gift to God, and you remember that you and your brother have an issue, leave that issue at the altar. Don't let anything distract you from giving your gift to God, because your relationship with God is more important than anything you got going on with people. So Jesus here, what he says would have been shocking. Leave the gift. Go reconcile with my brother. Are you saying? I thought God was supposed to be first. But you're saying that if there's something, if there's some tension, if somebody has something to give you, you leave it and you get back to God later. So let's kind of go into that mindset and think that original audience who heard Jesus, this would have been something they would have heard that would have been shocking. This is a sacred act that's interrupted. Like, what can come between you and God? And Jesus is saying, interrupt the sacred act. Giving that gift is a big deal. But go reconcile with your brother first. Well, I told you about being God's gift to you. And I actually learned this on my birthday. I was reading in the book of Ephesians that morning. And I read something that I'd read several times before. Something hit me in a whole new light, or the commentators helped me to see something different that I'd never noticed. So we'll read it. And he, or Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, so there's the gift, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, when I read this initially, I was thinking like I have so many times. It basically says that a pastor or teacher is supposed to help the church, help equip people, and build up the body. But then, again, like the commentators I was looking at, they helped me understand what it says just a few verses earlier. So we're going to back up and think about this. Paul writes, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." We're talking about gifts. So what is Christ's gift? "Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." So here we have, in Paul, is referring to a psalm. And this psalm that he's referring to, I think, is Psalm 68. And so let's back up, and because, interestingly enough, Paul has actually, he's not just quoting this psalm, he's changing it. He's changing it, changing some of the wording and the meaning to make a point here. So Psalm 68:18 says, "You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men." Compare that with Ephesians 4:8 and Paul's change. Do you see how he's changed it here? So Christ, who Paul says this psalm is talking about, so he's doing that. He's ascended on high. He's leading captives. But instead of receiving gifts, now he's the one giving gifts. And so the gifts, it turns out, to be people like pastors and teachers. But I say that because it's really not just pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets. It's really anyone who builds up the body of Christ. And that's the big point. Anyone who's building up the body is a gift. So you're the gift too. The gift isn't just me. So the gift, instead of the gift being under your seat, the gift was on your seat. That was my trick. Because you're the gift too. You're one of the gifts that God has given. If you're building up the body of Christ, you are a gift. A gift to be given. Now, so even more important, thinking about Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, even more important than giving a gift to God is being the gift. And being that gift in someone else's life, that's more important. Jesus prioritized that ahead. So let's flip back to Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 20, 25 through 26. Jesus comes along a similar kind of a line. "Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the guard, and you be put into prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Now, sometimes when verses come to us, they just seem so fitting for the moment. And I'll just have to say, like, this week, this was so good. Like, I just knew God was giving this gift to me. And it was something, so this is something I've wrestled a whole lot with over the last couple days. And thinking about what this means. And I think that a new point to me has emerged out of this as I've wrestling. And that is, so come to terms quickly, and we'll see later with what Paul says. Sometimes there are people in our lives where we can't come to terms with them. I know people, and sometimes as a pastor, you deal with the dark side of human nature, and you see people act out in ways. But there are some people, unfortunately, who instead of trying to reconcile, do the opposite and are attackers. And you think about it, Jesus wasn't able to reconcile with people accusing him, and he ended up dying. Paul, too, who we're going to look at a little bit later, had people who would accuse him of things, and there's some people that you cannot reconcile with. And that's just one of the unfortunate realities. Now, I think it's like the vast majority of people are pretty reasonable and can. So, but I just wanted to throw that little caveat because I've wrestled with it. I know people, and probably people who've done everything they can to reconcile when there's someone who's abusive or an addict or people with all kinds of issues that are just bent on destruction and have no desire for reconciliation, just part of the reality. So moving along, I want to see how Paul writes a passage that I think fits really well with this section of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at. And it starts with this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Now, well, I know we talked about it last week, but that fits so well with what Jesus was saying just a few verses earlier. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He came to abolish fulfill the law and the prophets, who said that God was going to do a new thing. He was going to give us new hearts. And Paul's saying, yeah, he's making us new. Paul goes on to say, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us, again, there's that word, another gift. He gave us the gift, the ministry of reconciliation. So you have, if you are a follower of Christ, you're supposed to be a gift. And also you've been given a ministry. Now, when we hear this as Americans, we hear something different than what a lot of the world hears. So I want to back up for a second and think internationally. Because we think of ministry, maybe we think of people serving. But ministry for a lot of places in the world, and what Paul's getting out here, carries some authority. In some countries, their primary leader is called their prime minister. And then in their departments, we have like our cabinet, we have a secretary of defense or a secretary of state, secretary of treasury. And a lot of other places, it's a ministry. It's a ministry of defense, a ministry of whatever, but it's a department, ministry of finance, interior. But so Paul is, we're talking about authority here. You've been given authority as a minister. And in our own country, it's a real honor. It's considered to be the honor when a president taps somebody to head a department or a ministry. And so that's one of the things Christ is giving us, that honor. We're the head of the ministry of reconciliation. So moving on, thinking about Paul and thinking about what he's saying to us, making us new. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 20, he says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Can you imagine if one of the things I thought about doing this morning was for you to like scream every time I said the word reconciliation. Well, you'd be screaming a lot, wouldn't you? But that's like, if that were the magic word, it would be getting really annoying right now. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There it is again. So as if to eliminate any doubt when he slipped into it, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. He calls us an ambassador. And what is an ambassador? Again, it's an honor to be an ambassador. An ambassador is a high-ranking diplomat. So anyone who follows Christ and is building up the body has the honor of serving as an ambassador representing our kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. And what do we do as his ambassadors? What is our ministry focus? It's reconciliation. So, how do we apply this, right? It's pretty simple. Christ calls us to be people who seek reconciliation. Paul wrote it like this in the book of Romans. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We are to be people who seek reconciliation, who make peace with others as best as we can on our part, and trust God to use that. So I want to encourage us, how do we apply this part of the Sermon on the Mount? This is an easier one. This is to be people. Who is it that we need to make peace with? And the Holy Spirit can handle that. Remember, it's a new covenant where he writes his laws on our hearts and our minds. But maybe let's think, who is it? Is there anybody that you need to make peace with? Is there anyone you need to reconcile with? Is there anyone you need to apologize to? Is there anyone who you need to make restitution with? Is there anyone who you need to reconcile with? So I just want to encourage you, if that's you, if God's putting somebody in your heart that you really know is from him, it's like, yeah, that person has something against me and there's something I can do about it. I want to encourage you to do it. Make the call. Write the letter. Approach the person. Offer the apology. Because it really just takes a few seconds of insane courage to do it and approach that person and do what you can. Again, as far as it depends on you, is there anything that you need to do? Or maybe not just somebody else, but is there anybody we can help reconcile? Is there anybody? We have a calling, a sacred calling. We have a ministry. We are ambassadors to help people reconcile. Even more than wanting a gift from you, God wants you to be the gift. Be a gift. Be a builder. Build the body of Christ. Be a reconciler. Be a peacemaker. Just as Jesus said a little bit earlier, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Can you imagine if everybody lived this way, or more people, or most people, how the world would be different? It's beautiful. And it says, as we make peace, as we're people who are peacemakers, God blesses us with a sense of belonging. We get to be a part of God's greatest work. Grace, redemption, reconciliation, love. We get to be a part of that. God wants us to be involved in maybe marriages that get saved, families that don't split apart, and people that come together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how great is the love you have lavished upon us that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God. Relationships are tricky. It's easy to get angry with others. Misunderstandings, sin, differences of opinion, and other things can lead to division and separation. Jesus prayed in the garden that we would be one as the Son and the Father are one. We need your grace, forgiveness, and redemption to reconcile us to you and to people, other people. Remind us that you have given us as a gift to build up the body of Christ. Remind us that you have given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are your ambassadors. Help us, if possible, as far as it depends on us, to live at peace with everyone and be Christ's ambassadors who carry out the ministry of reconciliation. In Jesus' name, amen.